In a world where hypnosis podcasts come and go, one man is here to deliver a knockout, no-holds-barred approach and deliver electrifying interviews with the world's top experts so you can discover the secrets to their success. Introducing the Hawaii Hypnosis Podcast. Subscribe to the newsletter and get instant access to 4 free skill-building audios that utilize a revolutionary hypnotic approach to improve your skills from the inside out. It's practically bulletproof. As a member of Hawaii Hypnosis, you'll join the ranks of the movers and shakers in the hypnosis and NLP community and discover how to significantly improve your skills from the inside out.
Aloha, everyone. It's Antonio Perez with another Hawaii Hypnosis Podcast. Today, I have somebody on the podcast that I've been waiting to get on the podcast for a long time. And considering he's the world's fastest hypnotist, it should have happened a long time ago. Today, I'm interviewing Sean Michael Andrews, the world's fastest hypnotist.
Hey, Antonio. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
Terrific.
It's taken a little bit of time to get this done, but I'm glad we're finally getting underway.
Me too.
Now, you may be the world's fastest hypnotist, but I don't know if you're Hawaii's fastest hypnotist yet.
Well, I've been to Hawaii. Certainly done hypnosis in Hawaii. I do hypnosis wherever I go. So, but about the world's fastest hypnotist thing, as I tell people at the beginning of the classes, I am the fastest hypnotist in the world. There's nobody who's faster than me. However, there are several hundred people who are just as fast as me. And when I finish training them, they also are the world's fastest hypnotists. But they don't own the website.
You were smart to get the branding.
It was funny. When I picked up that website years ago, it occurred to me that it's probably already taken, world's fastest hypnotist. Somebody's got to have that already. And I found that it was available and nobody had taken it. So I was furiously typing on my laptop to get this website because in my mind there were people all over the world that were just about to pounce on that website.
They wanted to be the fastest hypnotist.
That's right. But I was the fastest at getting the world's fastest hypnotist website.
And I don't think a branding of world's slowest hypnotist would really do much good.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. Years ago, I guess this is about 3 or 4 years ago, I got an email from Gil Boyne. And I had taken Gil's master class years before. And I got this email from Gil Boyne, and I opened it up, and there was nothing in it except for a photograph. And it was a photograph of a 1959 hypnosis show poster, and it had Gil Boyne's face, very big, his face and his eyes piercing you, and it said on it, Gil Boyne, world's fastest hypnotist. And I thought, oh no, Gil's gonna come after me. Gil's mad at me, and now I'm in trouble. So I wrote him a note back, an email, and I said, sir, so I guess my calling myself the world's fastest hypnotist wasn't so original after all. And I signed it, your humble student, Sean Michael Andrews. And I got an email back from him right away, and he said, nah, it's just yanking your chain. He said, a lot of my students have called themselves the world's fastest hypnotist. And one, in fact, called himself the world's slowest hypnotist. He even had a briefcase made and then that stenciled on it. And he got a lot of people interested running around with that thing. But anyway, just so you know, there have been a lot of people. Dave Ellman was known as the world's fastest and youngest hypnotist back in 1912 when he began doing stage hypnosis.
I recently learned the Ellman induction when I was at Kevin Cole's NLP training about 3 weeks ago. And like, he knows I've done street hypnosis. I know inductions. I think I was scared to practice the Ellman induction. I just never practiced it. And he's like, oh God. He started pulling my chain. He's like, you know what? He's like, you need to know this induction because people are going to tell you you're not a hypnotist if you don't know the Ellman induction. And I found out that induction is super easy.
Yep. And it's super effective. You probably know I'm the supervising instructor for the Dave Ellman Hypnosis Institute. And that's one of the things that we teach right off the bat, because, you know, it's so effective. And it can certainly be used on the street. It can be used in a clinical setting, and it can be used on the stage. I did a stage show in Chicago at the Mid-America Hypnosis Conference back in October. And that's the induction that we used. We used the Dave Ellman induction in a stage format. And gosh, it works beautifully. It's absolutely the most effective induction I've ever used. In fact, although I'm known for my instant inductions, I don't use them very often in the office anymore because the Dave Ellman induction is so effective. It gets 98% of the people into hypnosis right away. And I don't have to resort to it. I used to have to resort to my instant inductions a lot when I was in the office. But now I just use them when I want to use them.
Good. And that stage show you're talking about, was that the one when that, what was that lady's name, Kendra, when that one guy was hugging her?
Kendra, yes. We were doing the old hot and cold skit. You know, every hypnosis show has the hot and cold skit. It's one of the first skits that you do. It's a really easy one. You don't need super depth of trance in order to pull it off. But these people were reacting really, really well. And I was on one side of the stage, and Kenda Summers was out in front where we just had one subject. And she got too close to him, and it got so cold. And I said, now that person next to you is really warm. Cuddle up to that person. And he didn't have anybody next to him, so he grabbed Kenda.
It was a pretty funny video.
It was good. It was really good.
Join the ranks of the movers and shakers in the hypnosis and NLP community. Subscribe to the newsletter and discover why this podcast is taking the world by storm.
You mentioned clinical hypnosis. The one thing I'd really like to know is how... We've talked about it before. How can street hypnosis techniques and stage hypnosis techniques be used in a clinical setting?
Let's talk about street hypnosis techniques first. See, the thing about street hypnosis is when you go out there, the people that you hypnotize when you're doing street hypnosis didn't go there to get hypnotized. You know, they're out walking around, maybe... coming back from a restaurant or going shopping or something like that, and then a perfect stranger walks up to him and says, hey, do you want to try some hypnosis? And so that's a tough subject. That's a hard target. And when you can hypnotize people who had no intention at all of being hypnotized, when you can do that, your confidence soars. You feel bulletproof. And so when you're in your clinical office and somebody comes in there to get hypnotized, well, that's a piece of cake. I mean, there's no way in the world that person is not going to get hypnotized. They're going to look at you and they're going to see it in your eyes that you are bulletproof. They are going to get hypnotized, and by golly, they will. So when you're out doing this on the street, one, you gain confidence. Because if you can do it on the street, you can do it anywhere. And second, your timing. You can really practice your timing on the street. Now, your average hypnotherapist only sees, well, to tell you the truth, your average hypnotherapist only sees a few people a month. And your average hypnotherapist is obviously part-time. And doesn't really get to hypnotize that many people. Well, when you go on a street outing, you might hypnotize 20 people in the course of an hour or two. That's a lot of practice. And so you really get good at your craft when you go out there and do street hypnosis. So skill building and confidence building, those are the two reasons why a clinical hypnotist and also a stage hypnotist should look into doing street hypnosis.
I can comment on the thing about doing street hypnosis. It makes it much easier. And, you know, I haven't set up my private practice yet. I'm in the process of it. But anytime when I have gone over to somebody's house and they have the intention they want to be hypnotized,
right,
makes it much easier. If I can hypnotize somebody in a busy environment with people looking at me thinking, oh crap, I hope this works. Oh God, don't fail. Don't open your eyes. After a little while of street hypnosis, it gets so easy.
Yep. It's true. Yep. It's excellent practice. You know, another thing, not just clinical hypnotists, but a lot of stage hypnotists really need to gain that confidence. And so it's really good for the stage people also. Plus, you know, these street hypnosis, inductions, like the shock inductions, they look awfully darn cool on stage. If you want to wow the crowd, I'm going to be posting a video probably in the next week or two, of the way we began that Chicago class. And, what happened was I just went out into the crowd and did instant inductions on people. And it was really an interesting way, an exciting way to begin the show. I had a cameraman following me as I went through the crowd and dropping people. I think I dropped five. And they were projecting it up on two screens up on either side of the stage so everybody could see what I was doing. And, it was interesting. It was, they wanted something different. And so that's what we were able to provide that time.
Oh yeah. I found out that, doing street hypnosis, anytime I've done like a shock induction or anything that's really, really rapid, I know what's going on, but people look at it like, oh my God, what just happened? And that's when everybody just draws the crowd in.
Yes. Yes. When you drop somebody using an instant induction, it definitely draws a crowd. And so what I do, you know, I've got that person, you know, on my shoulder, going deep into trance, and that's when I take some time to start scanning the crowd and see who my next person is going to be. And so you know, there's certain people that you look for that you know are going to be good subjects. And so, that's something, a little extra thing that you need to do once you've done that induction and the crowd has begun to form.
What kind of signs are you looking for in other people?
Okay. First of all, the ones that are standing toward the front of the crowd. Okay. They're more interested. If they were not going to volunteer if they were going to be skittish, they'd be out on the back of the crowd looking in. Okay. So the people that are up close, you want them. Of course, I like younger people because younger people are going to be more animated once you get them into trance and you want to start doing skits. I'm looking for the ones that have that look of amazement, you know, because that means they really know that you can do this. You know, if they look bored, that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for the one with the wide eyes and just amazed at what they're seeing right there. That's the person that you want. Of course, you know, smiles, that sort of thing. But those are just a few of the things that I look for when I'm looking for my next person to hypnotize.
You know, one thing I just thought about, sometimes when I go out, I'll have a tip jar. I'll just leave a tip jar. With people that are tipping, do you think that they would be more open to being hypnotized?
Well, I've never used a tip jar. I've never found a way to monetize street hypnosis. But I would say that if you had a tip jar and they put money in it, yeah, I would think that would make them one of the people that I would go for next. Yeah, probably.
I remember the first time I actually had a tip jar out there. I talked to somebody on Facebook that wanted to see me in action. I was like, well, why don't you come down? Got awesome phenomenon with her. Had her forgetting numbers, missing fingers, all kinds of really, I mean, awesome subject. Afterwards, she told me she was a skeptic afterwards. I'm like, I'm glad you told me you were a skeptic afterwards because that would have totally screwed me up. But that night, surprisingly, I think I made something like $80 in tips in like a 3-hour period.
Really? Oh, that's pretty good. That's really good.
And then every other night was like $5, so I think that was just like a super lucky night.
That's funny. The fleet must have been in.
Yeah. I think it just worked out. So one thing, I helped one guy with a little bit of neck pain.
Uh-huh.
So he was surprised. Like, boom, threw me like $20. I'm like, cool, thank you.
Wow.
I might have been doing it for the money. I just do it because it's so much fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Where do you do it?
Have you ever been out? What islands have you been to?
Just the Big Island.
Big Island. There's a small little art festival, or every Friday there's an art walk. So you get a lot of people out there that are more than likely interested in creative things. They want to check out the art, scenery, and whatnot. So I'll just have a sign that says, hey, hypnosis works. Ask me how. People come up.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it takes me a minute to convince them. One of my little one-liners that other people could probably use, if like people ask me the usual, what are you going to make me do? I'm like, look, I can't force you to do anything. I'm like, here's the deal. If I could force you to do something, I wouldn't have a tip jar out there. I'd be a millionaire. I had people sending me money every week. Doesn't work that way. And that usually helps to break a little bit of ice.
Uh-huh. It's funny. You mentioned that the one girl that you worked with, she told you she was a skeptic afterwards. If someone tells me they're a skeptic beforehand, I usually will reject them. It's funny. I almost always get them into hypnosis when I'm doing street hypnosis, but you get better as you do it. You get better at picking soft targets. And so if someone tells me they're skeptical, I'm usually not going to go for that person. I'm going to go for the people that I think are going to be easiest to get into trance. You know, when some guys, when they first start out doing street hypnosis, they'll try anybody. You know, they're just dying to do it. And so that's when their failure rate is going to be a bit higher. But as you probably know, as you get more experience, you get better at picking who you're going to work with. And one of the biggest mistakes that a street hypnotist will do sometimes is begging somebody to work with them. You know, someone comes up and you say, hey, would you like to do some hypnosis? And they'll go, nah, I'm not interested. And they'll say, oh, no, really, it's lots of fun. People love it. Well, I don't think so. Well, no, really, really, you ought to give it a try. Well, okay. You know, what are the odds that you're going to be successful with that person? It's pretty poor. Okay. But if you got a crowd of people and you ask someone if they want to do it and they go, yeah, that looks like fun, you're going to be successful with that person almost always. So, pick your targets. That's what makes you even more successful.
Hey, let's say if a couple is walking past, like a guy and a girlfriend, guy and a wife and whatnot, I'll ask them, but hey, you guys want to try some hypnosis? Or I'll ask the guy and
uh-huh.
Guys, more often than not, they'll be like, no, I'm good. And then, and I'll joke with them. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, you've never been hypnotized before, right? They're like, no. I'm like, so you're telling me your wife has never hypnotized you? And then they usually, everybody laughs. And I've actually had a couple people that have changed their mind, come back, and it's worked that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. And then sometimes you get the ones where they go, oh, not me, but here, you take her. Yeah.
Exactly.
Let her go first, yeah. And then you'll get maybe 3 or 4 people. I remember this one family that came by, and they're going, no, I'll do it if you do it. No, you do it first. No, you go first. And finally, with that family, what I did was I just said, well, why don't we do it as a group? And I sat them all down, and I did a Dave Ellman induction, and then watched them. And from the way they reacted, I determined which one I was going to work with individually at first. You know, you could see when you did the group Dave Ellman induction, you could see who was the high responder. And then I just worked with her, and of course that worked very well.
And I bet that gets everybody else's expectation flowing as well.
Oh yeah, right, exactly. I mean, for when you're successful and you drop that person in, your odds of dropping the next person skyrocket. But by the same token, if you fail, your odds of getting the next person are a lot lower, because they don't have the expectation that you are a powerful hypnotist. And so there's a better chance that your induction will fail on the second person. And by the third person, just forget it. Wait till the crowd moves on.
I usually start off with, almost always, I'll either start off with magnetic fingers.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll just go into, I'll have them close their eyes, feel like their eyes are glued shut, blah, blah, blah. Or once in a while, I'll go to shake their hand. I'm like, hey, what's your name? And then I just go straight into the handshake induction. I've had it work and not work. But the ones it's worked on, it's been brilliant. Mm-hmm. People, what I started doing recently is after I do all the skits and whatnot, yeah, I'll drop them down again. And then I basically wake them up like nothing happened. Like I just did one complete handshake.
Yeah.
Usually get a nice confused look on their face. Like, what's going on? This is kind of weird.
Sounds very Ericksonian. Yeah, the handshake interrupt, I like that a lot. But I don't use that one a whole bunch. I use that one a little bit. On the street, I find that the shock inductions are more effective. And so I tend to do them more. Plus they're flashier, you know, and that's what I feel that the street hypnosis is all about. It's flashy. And so, I generally will use more shock inductions, like a hand drop induction or an arm pull induction, something like that.
Yeah. So you're not really going to do a progressive relaxation.
Never. I've done one progressive muscle relaxation induction in my life, and that was for a video.
Yeah, it just bores them to death. I mean, you can get somebody a nice deep trance, but I'd rather do something fast and then do the therapeutic work after.
Yeah, well, I mean, for the street, it's ridiculous. I mean, you can't use a progressive muscle relaxation induction on the street. That doesn't work. You need something fast. And the slowest thing I've ever used on the street has been a Dave Ellman induction. So that's, 3 minutes?
And I think the Ellman induction would work for people that, in my opinion, are scared about giving up control, where they can see it's a gradual process.
Yeah, it's so good. It works beautifully for people that are nervous. It works beautifully for people who are analytical. It works for virtually everyone. I mean, it's in practice when I'm doing my clinical hypnosis, that's what we do. The first time they come in, we do the Dave Ellman induction. And the Dave Ellman induction will work with, like I say, about 98% of the people, maybe even better. It's so rare that that one doesn't work. Now, it needs to be practiced. But once you practice it, you're bulletproof.
And it just becomes way easier. Yeah, that's one that I need to practice a lot more. If I can just convince if I can convince my girlfriend to let me practice with her.
Yeah, it's really the practice, but once it is, it's so effective and you'll love it. Well, one of the things, whether you're on the street or whether you're in a clinical setting or whether you're on the stage, a good pre-talk is really, really helpful in increasing your odds. And I have a pre-talk that only lasts a minute, and I've found it to be very, very effective. I took the general principles from Don Motton's pre-talk, and then I took out all the stuff that I didn't feel was absolutely necessary. And like I say, my pre-talk lasts for a minute. And once you've done that, you've dispelled almost every fear or concern that the person could possibly have. And so, therefore, your inductions work so much better. Shall I give you my pre-talk?
Oh, yes. I would love to hear it.
I'm looking at the timer. Here we go. All right. Now, the three common misconceptions about hypnosis. The first one is that there's a loss of control. There's no loss of control in hypnosis. You'd never do anything in hypnosis that you wouldn't normally do. You'd never do anything against your moral, religious, or personal values, or something you just thought was silly. When you're deep in hypnosis, if I were to ask you to stand on your head, you'd say, nah, I don't feel like doing that. You see, you wouldn't be compelled to do it. The second common misconception about hypnosis is that people will tell secrets in hypnosis, and that's not true either. If you had a secret to keep in your normal waking state, you would keep it in hypnosis. You're not going to give me the PIN number for your ATM card. And the third common misconception about hypnosis is that somebody could get stuck in hypnosis, and that's impossible. In 4,000 years of people being hypnotized, nobody ever got stuck in hypnosis. However, I will tell you that some of the states of hypnosis feel so wonderful you wish you could get stuck, but you can't. And that's exactly 60 seconds.
I just looked at my time. I looked up. I'm like, okay, yep, 1 minute passed.
And so sometimes I'll finish by saying, so do you have any questions before I hypnotize you, presupposing they're going to go into hypnosis? Exactly. And you know, it's very rare. Maybe 1% of them will have a question. If they do, deal with it and then get on with the induction. But that's usually, that really puts them at ease. It explains everything that most people are concerned about with hypnosis. And boy, it just paves the way for what you're doing.
Is there anything else that you can think of that you need to cover for clinical use?
I think I try to be sort of an ambassador for hypnotherapy when I'm out there on the street. Now, some people ask me, well, do you take along your business cards with you when you're out on the street? And to tell you the truth, I don't. And one of the reasons why I don't is that, there are always going to be people that are not going to approve of what you're doing out there. For religious reasons or for whatever reasons, there are people that are not going to approve of what you're doing. And so if you're out there handing out cards, now they know who to complain about. Okay. So I don't hand out my business cards when I'm out there doing street hypnosis. I mean, if they really were offended that somebody was being allowed to do hypnosis in the town square, then they could find some way to identify you and complain about you. But I don't like to make it easy for them. So I don't hand out business cards when I'm out doing that. But I am an ambassador for hypnotherapy. You know, people will say, hey, will this help people? Will this help me stop smoking? And I'll say, yeah. I mean, this is the most effective way that we've found to stop smoking. And there are no side effects. And I'll tell them about the studies that have been done at hospitals that prove that hypnosis is the most effective way to stop smoking. They'll ask me about weight loss. They'll ask me about public speaking and all sorts of phobias and that sort of thing. And I'll tell them, you know, if you want to use hypnosis for this, you can really, really make some major improvements. And so, yeah, so I try to be an ambassador for hypnotherapy when I'm out there. The other parts about, well, okay, the instant inductions. Occasionally, there's somebody in your office that is not going to go into hypnosis using your normal slower ways. And by slower, I mean like a Dave Elman induction. It takes 3 or 4 minutes. And if you can't hypnotize that person, then you can't help that person. So if you're experienced at doing street hypnosis, you're going to be very, very good at instant inductions, at a hand drop induction or something like that. And so that is going to enable you to help a lot of people that normally you would not be able to help. So that's another advantage to the clinical hypnotist for going out and doing street hypnosis. Here's another one. Many of the street hypnosis techniques that I use are perfect for practice building. When you go out and give a talk at the Ladies Gym or at the Lions Club or at the Kiwanis or something like that, if you want to wow them, use some street hypnosis techniques. Do some shock inductions. That is going to amaze people. And here's the thing. They see you do a shock induction on one of their friends who attends the same gym with them. And so that makes them a believer in one, that hypnosis works. But also, they look at you, your prestige shoots up because you hypnotized their friend and you did it instantly. So now they're certain that you can help them with any issue that they might have. So once again, that's another benefit of the street techniques for the hypnotherapist.
Yeah, because you're not boring them into a trance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's what I'll do is and this is kind of a trick, one of the tricks that I use when I'm at the ladies' gym giving a talk. And I'll say, does anyone out there, I don't suppose anyone out there has any stress. And, of course, you're talking to a room full of women, and they're guaranteed to laugh and scoff because every woman in the world believes that she has a whole bunch of stress. Now, everybody in the world has stress, but men, we won't admit it. But women will always admit it, that they have stress. And so I say, well, I'd like to walk you through a stress reduction exercise that I use with my clients. And what I do is I do a Dave Ellman induction, but I don't call it an induction, all right? So as I do it, I'm watching the audience, and I'm looking for the people whose heads are way down, you know, who are slumping, who are, you can tell somebody who's really gone deep, all right? And then you emerge them with feelings of health and feeling really, really good, and now you've identified the people in the audience that you're going to use your shock inductions on. So that works very, very well.
That's brilliant. Yeah, I almost see like a slow induction reminds mm-hmm. me of on like a long car trip somewhere. I'm like, ask my parents, I'm like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? People want instantly. They don't have to wait. It's instant gratification in this culture.
Yeah. Hey, you know, another thing you said earlier, you were talking about using suggestibility tests like magnetic fingers and maybe the arms rising and falling. Some people call it books and balloons, that sort of thing. I never ever use suggestibility tests in the office because I know they're going to go into hypnosis. That's so I feel that you should never use suggestibility tests in the office because there's a chance that a very good hypnotic subject just won't do very well on that particular test. And so you may turn off somebody who was going to be very easy to hypnotize anyway. And plus, I mean, your confidence should be at the point where they came here to get hypnotized. So they're going to get hypnotized. So why in the world would you test them? So in my office, no suggestibility tests. However, on the street, yes. Suggestibility tests are a really good way to get the crowd together, you know? If you have them doing heavy arm and light arm or arms rising and falling or books and balloons, however you want to call that test, it's really good. It's a really good visual, and it gets people interested. All right, it kind of gets them up and moving. And the magnetic fingers, same thing. And when you're watching these people, even though we know magnetic fingers are a trick and it's a physiological thing, and the fingers are going to come together anyway, they don't know that. And so watch their faces. And when their fingers touch, the ones that have the wow face, you know, they're amazed. They're just absolutely amazed that their fingers came together. That's the person you want to bring up and test. But the other thing that the finger magnets are good for, of course, is for telling if you've got resistance. Because the only way they can keep their fingers apart when they do magnetic fingers is for them to consciously really be forcing those fingers apart. And so someone who fails magnetic fingers, I'm not going to use them. I'll just let them stay and watch the show. But the people who the magnetic fingers work on, you know they're not going to resist you. So that makes them a better candidate, of course.
You're listening to the Hawaii Hypnosis Podcast. Can I ask you to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes by going to hawaiihypnosis.org/iTunes and give us a 5-star rating?
Another question I have, which I've had some troubles getting it to work, is getting, I guess you could call it the golden hypnosis, is getting the phenomenon to work. How have you found the best way to get phenomenon?
Do you mean after you've done an induction, or do you mean doing it from just from the go. Just say, close your eyes and relax them to the point where they won't work and test them. And now they're glued shut even more. And then you go from that into further, which way are you talking about?
I usually, like to do an induction first. Maybe, I'll do like the, I don't even call it match. I don't call it suggestibility test. I just pretend it's an induction, fingers closed. And then, do like the heavy eyes, whatever, glued shut.
Right.
And then I'll have them test that, and people are kind of like, and then I'm like, well, it's kind of weird, isn't it? You can't open your eyes. And then from there, I'm kind of still tricky on how to progress it into other phenomenon.
Okay. All right. Well, the secret, and the stage hypnosis guys know this, it's you start out with the easiest tests, and then you gradually get tougher. All right. So I usually use the Ahrens scale, and it goes up to 6. And the Ahrens 1, which is a light level of trance, is when you can get them, you can get catalepsy in a group of small muscles, like for instance the eyes, when you can tell them that their eyes are stuck shut, and the harder to try to open them, the more tightly they stick, okay? And then I'll go for an Ahrens 2. I'll go for something that takes a little bit more depth of trance, and that is a catalepsy of a group of larger muscles, for instance, make their arms stiff and rigid, so stiff it won't bend. Okay. And these are known also as challenges, because when their eyes are stuck shut and they can't open them, that's a convincer to them that something's going on, that maybe they are hypnotized, and that makes them go deeper. And then you make their arms stiff and rigid and they can't bend it, and that convinces them further and they go deeper. And then for an Ahrens 3, I'll usually stick their hand to something, like I'll stick it to a light pole, or I'll stick it to the bench, or stick it to their head or something like that. And for Ahrens 4, then you want to see amnesia. And that's where you do things like take away a number, or you take away their name or something like that. And then from there, once you've got amnesia, and you're not going to get it with everybody, once you get amnesia, then you have somebody who is quite possibly a somnambulist, and then you can try for more difficult phenomena.
Well, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. So what people fail at is sometimes, you know, they'll do the induction and they'll go straight for amnesia, and you're not going to get that very often if you go straight to it. But if you work your way up to the more difficult phenomena, then you're going to be more successful.
I think I've probably had about a 50-50 of it working going into amnesia, and it seems better if you springboard into it and you kind of gradually build the expectation up, it'll be much higher success rate.
Yeah, and like I said, that's what the stage people do. You know, stage hypnotists, they start out with hot and cold. Almost every stage show starts with hot and cold, you know, and then from hot and cold, they'll go to ones like the orchestra, and then from the orchestra, they'll go to, oh, I don't know, maybe a dance routine or something like that, but each one requiring a greater depth of trance. And of course, the people do go deeper as the show goes further on. So you don't start right off with a positive hallucination. That's not going to work.
Yeah, unless if you've got those floppers that just drop immediately, and that's kind of, it'd be a little harder to find.
Well, a real flopper, or a blowdown, as they call them, let's see, who was it? Was it Herbert Spiegel called them class 5 virtuosos? You know, these are the top 2% of subjects, and these people were just, oh, they're so much fun. But yeah, with them you can start off with just about anything, but they're rare.
Yeah, I've had a couple of those, and they are a lot of fun.
Yeah, my problem is that when I meet one, they always live too far away from me. I need one of those that lives close to me, because they're so much fun to experiment on.
Yeah, good safe experimentation.
Of course, always respectful.
And the one thing that I got really good about was safety. At first, I wasn't good on safety. I had one guy where we're outside this restaurant. I told him I do hypnosis, and I could tell he was intrigued. I'm like, hey, you want to try? So we did a handshake induction, and I gave him the suggestion, like, anytime I say the word sleep now, your eyes will close, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I didn't think of telling him that his legs would be tough, be rigid. You can probably already see where this is going. Yeah. I told him, well, it's like sleep now, his legs are buckled. So in that instant, I was like, oh, boy. So I grabbed him, before I hit the ground. Ever since I did that, I was like, okay, I need to be a lot more safe.
Yeah, no, I'm very, you know, I'm very big on safety, and I've never hurt anybody, and I don't intend to, so I'm always very careful. If you're close enough to the person, and you really should be, I learned this from, I learned this from a guy named Norm Caldwell years ago. When their legs buckle, you just shout, "Steel in your legs," and often they will straighten those knees right up. And so that works really well. But stay close to them. You know, always do the safety check before you do a shock induction. The mnemonic that I use, to remember the safety check is NEWS, N-E-W-S, because you want to make sure they have no neck, elbow, wrist, or shoulder problems. And, if they do, then you can't do a shock induction. But if they say they don't have any of those, then you can do a shock induction. But once again, you know, if you're doing something like an arm pull induction, the jerk of the arm is more like, it's not really a pull. It's a quick jerk. It's closer to an electric shock than it is to a pull, because you don't want to dislocate somebody's elbow or dislocate somebody's shoulder. It's just a quick jerk where you're moving their hand really only a couple of inches, but you're doing it so rapidly that it gives their system a jolt, and then you can shout in the command sleep right away, and that will work very well. But yes, safety is essential, and that's a big part of any class I teach and any product that I've put out.
Yeah, you don't necessarily want to do any kind of induction on them.
Oh, jeez. let's go there.
Yeah, you don't want to throw them on the ground. Not really good for repeat clients.
Yeah.
Join the ranks of the movers and shakers in the hypnosis and NLP community. Subscribe to the newsletter and discover why this podcast is taking the world by storm.
We're gonna do some street hypnosis when we're in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up. Everybody right. that's listening to this, there is an awesome event that's being put on by the founder of HypnoThoughts, Scott Sandlin. It's going to be, I believe it's June 14th, 15th, and 16th in Las Vegas. It's going to be HypnoThoughts Live. You can learn more at HypnoThoughtsLive.com. I'm not quite sure the price. I think it might still be at the early bird price. It's $175 for 3 days. And I believe it's 61-hour presentations. They might have actually added more, so they're constantly adding more people. And I've talked to Sean, Michael Andrews, and a couple other people about doing a massive street hypnosis event, trying to get as many people out there, hypnotizing as many people on Fremont Street. It's going to be a blast. Sean, what's your talk going to be about at HypnoThoughts Live?
Actually, I think it's going to be about street hypnosis. I'd have to go through my emails, but it's either going to be on instant inductions, or it's going to be on using street hypnosis techniques on the stage and in the therapy office. But it definitely the meat of it is going to be how to do shock inductions. That's going to be the meat of the class.
Anybody listening to this, if you want to be doing hypnosis alongside some of the best, you've got Shawn Michael Andrews. I believe Brian David Phillips might be doing it.
I'm hoping.
Oh yeah. I think I talked to him. I think he sounds like he's up for it. If you want to have a blast doing street hypnosis, go to hypnothoughtslive.com, learn about the event and sign up. I cannot wait for it. I'm going to finally get a chance to meet a lot of people from HypnoThoughts.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Quite a few people. And I have Steve Rame, you know Steve Rame, right?
I know the name. Don't think he and I have ever met.
If Steve Rame sees me, I'm pretty sure he's going to pull out some of his mischievous moves he used on me in Long Beach at Igor's training in California. Got to the point where he could just walk up with a piece of paper that said sleep, and my eyes would close, and I would just stand in a nice deep trance. And even all the co-trainers were in on the secret. People would write they'd write a paragraph out, and certain letters that spelled out sleep were highlighted. So every time, it was a funny thing. I'd walk around, people look at me, they're like, "Hey, Steve wanted me to give this to you." And as soon as they said that, I could feel the body tingles. They showed me the piece of paper, and I would just stand somnambulistic. A lot of fun. So Steve, if you're listening to this, I'm expecting you're gonna have some fun with me and a lot of other people. And everybody listening to this, if you want to master street hypnosis, the Elman induction, anything, Shawn Michael Andrews has some awesome products. I have two of them on my shelf right now, the instant induction set. And the other set that I love that you and Keith put out, Keith Livingston, is the Amazing Inductions.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome DVD. It's definitely one of the better DVDs. Anybody listening to this, if you would like to check out his products, you can go to HawaiiHypnosis.org/SMA. Stands for Shawn Michael Andrews. Once again, that's HawaiiHypnosis.org/SMA. For full disclosure, it's an affiliate link. It helps me to pay for rent, food, and my website. If you want to get some awesome hypnosis tips, street hypnosis, all sorts of tips on hypnosis, Shawn Michael Andrews has an awesome newsletter that is chock full of really good advice. Where can they go to learn more about this?
They can just go to my website. It's worldsfastesthypnotist.com. And right on the front page, it says sign up for the Instant Hypnosis newsletter. And as you say, it comes out about once a week, sometimes every 2 weeks. And I have tips on how to do street hypnosis, tips on how to do hypnosis and make it work. So yes, please do sign up.
You know, honestly, it's definitely one of the better hypnosis newsletters I've seen out there. No spam and a ton of quality information.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, so for everybody that wants to learn more and master hypnosis, go to his website, worldsfastesthypnotist.com, and sign up for the newsletter. Shawn, I want to say thank you very much for allowing me to interview you today. It's taken a while, and I guess now you're even more the world's fastest hypnotist for finally getting this done.
Well, thanks, Antonio. It was really fun doing it, and I appreciate it. And you take care, and hope to see you in Las Vegas.
Oh, it's going to be a blast.
All right, you take care.
Thanks for listening to the Hawaii Hypnosis Podcast. Connect with us at Facebook.com/HawaiiHypnosis, Twitter.com/HawaiiHypnosis, and YouTube.com/HawaiiHypnosis.